In Proverbs in chapter number 3 and verse number 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding." That's the part that I want you to really focus on, and I want you to see. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Now I want you to keep that in mind tonight as we look at that. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Don't trust in God with just a little portion. And see, that's what happens a whole lot of times. It's just a little part that we've trusted in God. We're trusting in God to save our soul. If you got saved, you had to trust Him with everything. You didn't know how He was going to do it, but you just said, "God, here I am, lost and undone, unclean and unworthy. God, I know I'm going to hell if I die today. But God, I'm trusting in You." You didn't know how He was going to save you. You just know that He would. And at that very time, we've trusted in Jesus with everything we've got. And then after that day, we start to try to take back. "Well, I'll get this. Lord, You're good. And Lord, I thank You for saving me." And then we'll pick this back up. God, but I know that we're supposed to take care of our own finances, Lord. And God, that just don't make good sense. And then we'll get something else, and we'll get something else. And before you know it, you've burdened down, you've loaded down with the cares of the world. Trust in the Lord thy God with all, not just a little bitty part, with all thy heart. How many times are we making decisions upon what we understand it to be? We're all guilty, every single one of us. They ain't nobody in here that ain't guilty. We fail, and we fail often. That's why repentance is required daily. And in my case, just every minute. Now let's go over. I want you to keep that. That's not a hard one to remember. Everybody should remember that verse. Now let's go over. And you can drop Proverbs. Keep your place there in Mark. And go on over to Hebrews. Chapter number 11. Now I will tell you, and a lot of the failures that has been around me will tell you, that Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 is my favorite verse of Scripture, probably in all the Old Testament. It has helped me tremendously. At the same time, it has convicted me. It convicts me often. It convicts me almost every time I read it. I fall under conviction of that very thing. This next verse is similar to that one. In Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6, we want to read this verse here. It says, But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You see how them two verses go hand in hand? That's what he's talking about over there. Trusting God. Having faith. It says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." But that very first part, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." How much of our lives is based on acts of faith? We don't even really... A lot of our life is based on faith, and we don't even acknowledge that it's faith. They ain't a single solitary time, unless you just live real close to the church here, that most of us gets here without exhibiting faith. You get in your car and you turn the key. If you didn't think it's going to start, you wouldn't even bother getting in the thing. Faith. Why do you believe that thing will start? Why is it that you believe your car will start? Somebody tell me. Why do you believe it'll start? I mean, you drove it tonight. Did you make any other arrangements of getting back home? Because it started before. It's done it over and over and over again. Every time you've gotten the thing, it started. That's why you've got faith in it. All right, you getting that thing, you throw her in reverse. Why did you think it would go, that it would move when you shifted the lever? Because it's done it before, over and over and over again. God ain't no different. How many times have you come to this very altar or some other altar or in your prayer closet? And He's come through over and over and over again. He started today asking to save you, and He ain't quit yet. But why is it that we have such a struggle, such a hard time believing God, trusting God? I don't know why we do, but I sure know that we struggle with it. Maybe you different than me. Maybe you don't. But I believe if that's how you feel, that you've probably deceived your own self. If you get here, most of us goes through a red light somewhere. I don't even take a glance if there's something else coming. I'm just wrong. Amen? How many yuns? Listen, they some of yuns pice me are coming to church. I know yuns is the same way. I mean, I look by, I'm running 50, and whoosh, I say, who in the world was that? Lord, that is Brim. Where's he going? Melody, Brian's wife, she runs about 70 out through there, 45. Jesus, take the wheel. But, so, it's not uncommon for saved or lost people to exhibit acts of faith on a regular basis. But when it comes to things, I mean, do you have any control over where that car starts or not? You don't. Do you have any, I mean, do you have a sixth sense that you know for sure that their lights is red? You might not believe this, but I seen a place and it was all green. Every single light. And we like to have the awfulest pileup ever was. And people was honking and blowing, and thank God that the traffic got stopped because everybody was trying to go. I've seen it the other way, that all the lights was red. So we exhibit great acts of faith. Now let's go over to Mark, where you've been holding. You still holding there? All right. Now, what we want to look at tonight is we want to look at, this was one of the lessons that they had during Bible school. It always helps me when I get to look at a good example of other scripture. I mean, would you like to see a good example of trusting the Lord thy God with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding? Wouldn't you like to see a good example of that? Or how about, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And that's what we want to look at tonight. We want to look at two examples of this scripture being fulfilled. But there's some more we've got to look at in here. And this is exactly how we are. This fits us to a T. Over in chapter number 5, Mark chapter number 5, the first of this chapter, we find that Jesus, that He's passing over to the Gadarene. And Jesus beforehand, He had been doing miracles. His fame was growing by leaps and bounds. Everybody was talking about what this Jesus was doing. I mean, it was amazing. Nobody could deny that He was doing the very things of God. Nobody could understand. I mean, there's a lot of people couldn't understand it. There was a lot of religious people. There was religious people, mostly the ones that couldn't understand it. The lost people, lost and unsaved and undone, the ignorant and unlearned, seemed like they didn't have a problem understanding exactly who this was and what He is doing. It's still the same way today. But anyhow, we go down through there and we find that Jesus, that here's a man running around naked, living in the tombs. Nobody can't tame him. I mean, he's a public menace. I mean, he's causing all kinds of problems. I mean, could you imagine going home tonight and by your house there's some man screaming and cutting himself all during the night? How would you feel about going home? I'd probably move. I'd want him chained up or I'd shoot him. I mean, I ain't putting up with stuff like that at my house. And they didn't want him to be there neither. But somehow or another they had compassion on him to some degree. They didn't kill him. They did try to chain him up. But Jesus comes. He goes down there, falls at the feet of Jesus. Jesus heals him up, gives him a sound mind. He ain't no longer running around naked. And you know, I don't know if there's any other places or not, but this is the only one I've found of where Jesus didn't tell him, follow me. Matter of fact, he told him, no, you can't go with me. Listen, you've got all you need. You've been delivered. You've been set free. Go your way and tell what good things that I've done. He didn't even tell him to be quiet, not to tell nobody. He said, go tell them all what I've done. And he did, buddy. He told everybody. Well, the rest of them, they were scared, didn't know what to do. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it was a great deal of money that some of them lost, 2,000 hogs. But think of what they gained. I mean, no more of this screaming and yelling. And who knows what those demons, what would come out of that man's mouth, what kinds of cursings, what kinds of noises and sounds would come out of his mouth. They got their community back. I think it's worth a few hogs to get your community back. But they are scared of the Lord. They said, depart from us. So he left. Listen, you have to invite him in. He won't come and force his way. If you don't want him, don't worry, he won't come. But let's go on into what I really want to talk about tonight. Let's go on down and let's start about verse number 21. It says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea. He just had got there, and already a great multitude began to gather around. Why? Why did they want to gather around this Jesus? Because of what they believed that he could do. What he had done for others. Just like you get in that car and you turn that switch, they had faith. They believed he could do something about it. Nobody else could, but they believed he could. So they're over there, people's are gathering up. He says, and behold, there came one. There cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He fell at his feet. A ruler. Not only did he fall at his feet, he says, and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. So he comes. He falls at the feet of Jesus. I don't know why we think it's any different. When we come down here burdened down, and we get down here and we leave tear stains all over this place, do you think it's any different than what Jairus done? It ain't a bit different. It's the same. He's here. He's here right now. He's ever present. The scripture says over there, it says he's ever present in the time of need. Jesus is right here, right now. And all of our, remember what it says? It says, casting your cares upon him, for he careth for you. It's important for us to humble ourselves. The very reason the altar's built the way it is that we might humble ourselves. So Jairus, he's begging Jesus to come and to heal his little daughter. I thought about what that must have been like. I mean, I don't know how many Yunzes ever had a sick young'un or had a family member that had a sick child? If you ain't never experienced that, I would suggest that you go to the hospital. Go down to the children's hospital and see what kind of condition them parents gets in. They'd do anything. They'll sell anything. Whatever it takes. And Jairus, no doubt, he had tried it all. And there wasn't nothing helping this girl. And Jesus, he leaves with him, and they're on their way. It says over there in 24, it says, and much people followed him and thronged him. They was touching him. And listen, it wasn't just like that they was behind him a-coming. They were coming from every direction. It's all they could do to press through the crowd. We don't normally do it here because we don't like it when people touches us. We don't like to sit too close. We're Baptist, right? We don't like it when there's too big a crowd. But you've got to understand that most cultures ain't like that. I mean, Amy will tell you, over there in Africa where we go, the people will start gathering up, and you're pushing your way. You're just pushing your way. You can't go fast. You're pushing your way through people. Young'uns especially, they gather up, all the way around you. They're all trying to get close to you. With Amy, with her blonde hair, them young'uns is wanting to touch that hair. They wasn't going. They was coming from every direction. Listen, Jairus wasn't the only one that knew what Jesus was doing. These people that was coming to him, they knew what Jesus could do. They had faith and they believed that if they could just get to him, he could do something about their situation. Trust in the Lord thy God with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Let's keep going. The first one that we're going to get to here, he says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. How many people do you know tonight that they've tried everything? Now, I ain't talking about a physical illness. I'm talking about a spiritual disease. They've tried it all. They've bought Bibles and they've went to seminars and they've got tapes and they've got self-help books. They've tried everything. And they ain't grown none the better. They've just grew worse. Boy, I tell you, there's some people out there tonight, church, that's desperate for Christ to do something in their life, and they don't even realize what they're looking for. They've tried it all. They've tried drugs, and they've tried partying, and they've tried sex. They've tried everything. They've tried to fit in with this bunch. They've dressed up like crazy heathens, wore black from head to toe, trying to fit in, trying to find something, and they're still empty, and they're still unsatisfied. This woman, though, she had a physical ailment. A physical sickness. Not only did she have a physical one, but she had a spiritual one too. And she had tried everything. He says that she had suffered many things. Listen, when you try to go the ways of the world, it's just going to cause you to suffer longer than you need to. I like this next part though. It says, sometimes you need to slow down when you're reading the scripture. Sometimes you don't need to read it so fast. It says, when she had heard, somebody told her. Somebody introduced her. Somebody told the stories about what's been going on. Somebody told her about Jesus. Are you telling people about Jesus? Are you trying to meet that awful condition that they have, that it's a spiritual disease? It's called sin, and it's called being unsaved. It's called lost and undone. In need of a Savior. They have to hear. or else they ain't going to get it. It says, when she heard of Jesus, it's got a comma there, it says, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. It goes, well, there's so much in these scriptures right here. I mean, God, He just began to, my mind began to boil over just about with all that it was saying. We talked about somebody that's lost and just hearing and the condition they've in. But let's look at it as somebody saved. If I could just get back close to God, I'll be all right. This misery that I'm suffering and this backslid condition, it's killing me. If I can just get close one more time. How many times have you needed to just get close to God? You just needed to be there, right there at His feet, right there at the hem of His garment. You didn't need Him to put His arms around you. You just needed to get close. And everything you know didn't be all right. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Here's a woman, I don't know exactly how sick she was. She couldn't have been in too good a shape. It says over there she'd spent all that she had on every kind of thing she could think of doing. She's leaning to her own understanding. And when she's broke, she couldn't pay the doctors no more. She is at the end of the line. There was no more hope for her as far as worldly concerns, that she couldn't do nothing about it. And somebody come along just at the right time, just when she needed it most, and told her about Jesus. And she made her mind up that she's going to do something about the shape she is in. Listen, you're going to have to make your mind up, lost and undone, on your way to hell. You're going to have to make your mind up that you're going to do something about it. I'm going to come and I don't know how He'll save me, but I'm going to ask if He'll save me. You're going to have to do something about it. God won't force salvation on nobody. He says, and straightway the fount of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. You remember the night you got saved? I knew that everything was going to be all right. I knew I was healed of my plague. Boy, I tell you, I like this story. These children's stories, they're good for the soul. I tell you, I thank God for them. All right, let's keep going on right quick, like. Let me hurry. He says that Jesus immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Jesus could have pointed her out if He chose to, but He didn't. He talks about salvation. He says, with a heart man believeth, and with a mouth confession is made. He wanted her to admit what happened to her. If you get saved, you need to admit what happened to you. That the Lord come in and He's fixed my plague. He's done something about my disease, my sin debt that I couldn't pay. He says, and His disciples say unto them, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. She come to worship Him, to thank Him, after it was asked. What's God done for you, church? It's asked all the time of you. Who do you need to tell? Tell somebody, I don't care who it is. Tell them what good thing God's done for you. All right, let's continue on. And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue, how certain, which saith, thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth thou the Master any further? thy daughter's dead. What if that had been said to you while you're sitting out there in one of them waiting rooms or with somebody else? But just pretend for a minute it was you. What if tomorrow that they come and they tell you, your son or your daughter's dead? They're dead. We need to understand and try to imagine the best we can how that must have felt to understand these scriptures. I mean, can you just feel how your heart sinks even thinking about it? When I get bad news, sometimes I get an old sick gut feeling. Oh my God. Your daughter's dead. Why are you bothering Jesus? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Trust in the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. Jesus is telling you tonight, don't be afraid. Just believe. What's your problem? Don't be afraid. Just believe. Is he not capable of doing something about it? Jairus thought so. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. Tumult is a great noise. It can be a sadness, but it can be like a riot. It's a great noise of a great crowd. They was wailing and they was crying and they was taking on. He was a ruler of the synagogue, as a lot of people knowed him. Knowed about the condition. Knowed that he'd went to get Jesus. So, Jesus is there and he tells them, he says, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Now, before we go any further, I want to tell you what Jesus does. He walks in there and he speaks to that girl and he says, get up. And then she gets right up. It's not nothing for Jesus. It ain't nothing from God. He give you life to begin with. It's not nothing for him to give you life again, or it ain't nothing for him if you'll accept it to give you eternal life. It's nothing for God. But you have to believe that God is God and that he's in control and that he can accomplish those things that we're asking him to do, or else there's no need for us to ask. It didn't make no difference. Jairus had made his mind up. He was going to believe Jesus. I made my mind up one night that I didn't know how, but they told me that Jesus could save me, and I was just going to trust in him to save me. I didn't know exactly how it was going to take place. Listen, and you can't explain it today, how God can come inside of your everlasting, non-dying soul and take up and cover that thing with his precious blood, cleanse you of all iniquity and sin, and make you righteous and whole before an almighty holy God. You don't understand it either. All you know is that he done it. We got another crowd here though. After Jesus said that, they say here in this next verse, they say, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he put them out. He didn't put up with that junk. Now, how is it that you can be so upset? Have you ever been just tore all to pieces, just upset? Danny, you ever been upset, just tore all to pieces? Could you just quit crying? How many of you have ever whooped your young'uns and they'd sit and how many of you have ever got whooped and done that? Could you just quit crying? Now how is it that Jesus says she's just asleep and they go to mocking and laughing him to scorn? Let me tell you something. They wasn't really sorry to begin with. It was just a show. It was just a show. There's a whole lot sitting in padded pews that ain't never been saved to begin with. It's just a show. And you know what Jesus done? He put them out. And you know what will happen to you if you keep on just pretending and showing? He's going to put you out. He's going to put you out of his kingdom. That's what will happen. It goes on down. In verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. The woman had the same problem for how long? 12 years. They were both the same age. He says, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Why? Because they never believed God could do it to begin with. That's why we're astonished by things. God does stuff sometimes and it surprises me to death. Why is it so surprising to me? Because I didn't have that much faith in it to begin with. Why come? What happened to my faith? I'll tell you what happened. I started gathering stuff back up. I've got to take care of this. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've often said, you can disagree with me if you want to, that if we could follow Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord thy God with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding, we wouldn't do anything else that's wrong. We'd do it right. We'd stay right with God. Are you trusting God the way you need to be trusting him, or are you leaning to your own understanding? How many great examples has he showed in your life? You should be trusting him more. What is it that's the problem? Why is it that you keep picking things back up that you left time and time again at the altar? Do you need to come and leave them one last time? Will you come tonight, maybe with a renewed sense of faith and purpose, that God, I believe that you can, Lord, I know you can do something about it. You remember over there the scripture? He said, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Do you know part of being humble is not just being humble in front of audience, but it's being humble in front of God and confessing just how full of doubts oftentimes you are? Do you know who can fix your faith problem? God. Do you know who gives you enough faith to get saved to begin with? God. It's all about him. If there's any good thing, where does it come from? It comes from above. So tonight, if you've got any issues, if you've got any needs, God wants to help you with them. He wants to help you through them. He don't want you to have to go this thing alone. You can suffer for as long as you choose to suffer. That one lady, she suffered for 12 years. Has yours been 12? It don't have to be. You can do something about it tonight. For the problems that you have in your life, you need to trust God. You need to humble yourself before him. Confess your faults one to another. Listen, if it's important for us enough to confess them before one another, we ought to confess them to God about what we need and what we have need of, about the lack of faith that we have sometimes, just how little what we have, just what we have need of.